This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 26 of the ceasefire after 15 months of Israel's genocide in Gaza. Here's a brief summary of some of the latest developments this week in Gaza and the West Bank. Since the January 19th ceasefire in Gaza, Israel has violated the ceasefire in a myriad of ways, including by withholding the amounts of aid, fuel, and medical deliveries agreed upon under the ceasefire terms, restricting people's freedom of movement, and by continuing to attack and kill Palestinians. Euromed Human Rights Monitor reported that, quote, despite the declaration of a ceasefire, Israel continues to commit genocide in the Gaza Strip by denying Palestinians the basic necessities for survival and imposing conditions of life calculated to bring about their physical destruction. The rights group added that more than 100 Palestinians have been killed since the ceasefire came into effect, including some who died from previous injuries during Israel's genocidal attacks, and at least 900 have been injured. On February 10th, Abu Obeida, the spokesperson for Al-Qassam Brigades, the military wing of the Hamas political party, announced that the planned release of Israeli captives would be postponed indefinitely unless Israel fulfilled its obligations and stopped its ceasefire violations. Hamas officials then submitted a report to mediators on February 11th, listing 269 field violations by the Israeli military since the ceasefire, as well as the ongoing denials of aid and fuel deliveries. Also included on the list were several political violations, including statements by Israeli lawmakers urging for the expulsion of Gaza's population, and the ways Israeli prison authorities were subjecting Palestinian captives to assault and violence upon their release during the exchanges. Israeli lawmakers then accused Hamas of violating the ceasefire, and U.S. President Donald Trump insinuated that Israel should cancel the ceasefire if the Israeli captives aren't released, and that he'd allow, quote, all hell to break loose otherwise. But even the Israeli military admitted in Hebrew media that Hamas had not violated the terms. Trucks filled with fuel, medical supplies, tents, caravans, heavy machinery, and food have been set to enter the Gaza Strip, but it is unclear when these necessary supplies will arrive as agreed upon. Israeli forces officially withdrew from the Netzarim corridor beginning on February 8th, and the next day, Agence France-Presse and the Times of Israel jointly reported that a Gaza government official said, quote, Israeli forces have dismantled their positions and military posts and completely withdrawn their tanks from the Netzarim corridor on Salah Ad-Din Road, allowing vehicles to pass freely in both directions. An AFP journalist on the scene said there were no Israeli troops present on the corridor. The Al Jazeera Arabic channel filmed footage of the wreckage left behind by the Israeli military after it withdrew from the Netzarim corridor. In a statement, the Hamas political party said, quote, the withdrawal of the Zionist occupation army from the Netzarim axis is a victory for the will of our people. Turning to the healthcare situation in Gaza, Caroline Seguin, the emergency coordinator for Doctors Without Borders, stated from northern Gaza on Wednesday that, quote, in the north governorate, the level of destruction is total. It's a flat land. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Our Palestinian colleagues are no longer able to recognize their own neighborhoods. Some were in shock. Others literally collapsed. Seguin added that, quote, in Gaza City, we were already shocked by the level of destruction. But then we went north to Jabalia. We couldn't say a word. There is nothing there anymore, only ruins and the smell of death everywhere because of the dead bodies still trapped under the rubble. In the north, she said, there is no health system anymore. Quote, Kamal Adwan Hospital has been razed, while Al-Shifa, Al-Auda, and Indonesian hospitals are seriously damaged and only partially functioning. We were utterly shocked to observe that in Indonesian hospital, every medical machine seemed to have been deliberately destroyed. They were smashed to pieces one by one to make sure no medical care could be provided anymore. You have to ask, what is the motivation of such action? These machines are made to save people's lives, mothers, fathers, children. It's devastating to see the state of these hospitals. And an update on the director of Kamel Adwan Hospital, Dr. Hossam Abu Safiya, who was abducted by the Israeli military on December 27th, along with his colleagues, medical staff, patients, and their companions. As we reported last week, Abu Safiya was still prohibited by the Israeli prison authorities any access to a lawyer as he remains in administrative detention at Ofer Military Prison. This week, Al-Mizan Center for Human Rights stated that on Tuesday, February 11th, after 47 days of arbitrary detention, Abu Safiya met his lawyer for the first time since his abduction from Gaza. Al-Mizan said, quote, Al-Mizan's lawyer visited Dr. Abu Safiya in Ofer prison, located in the unlawfully occupied West Bank. During the visit, Dr. Abu Safiya detailed the various forms of torture and abuse to which he has been subjected both during his unlawful arrest and throughout his arbitrary detention by Israeli forces and authorities. When he was captured from Gaza and transferred to the Sde Tayman military detention camp, he was subjected to various forms of torture and inhuman and degrading treatment, methods that are emblematic of Israeli mass arrest operations in Gaza. He reported being forcibly stripped, having his hands tightly shackled, and being made to sit on sharp gravel for approximately 5 hours by Israeli forces. He was also subjected to severe physical abuse, including beatings with batons and electric shock sticks, as well as repeated blows to the chest. In Ofer prison, where he was transferred on January 9th, he was held in solitary confinement for 25 days, a period so prolonged as to constitute a form of torture in itself. During this time, he endured nearly continuous interrogation for 10 days. At one point, he lost consciousness in his cell due to severe breathing difficulties. During interrogation, Dr. Abu Safiya was confronted with accusations that he firmly denied, stressing that he is a doctor whose sole duty is to provide medical care to patients and the wounded. He also reported a severe decline in his health, with his weight dropping 12 kilograms in less than 2 months, further evidence of Israel's systematic starvation policies against Palestinian prisoners and detainees. Additionally, he disclosed that he suffers from heart muscle enlargement. Despite repeatedly requesting medical attention from Israeli authorities, he has been systematically denied access to a specialist examination and deprived of essential care, further endangering his already deteriorating condition. Al-Mizan unequivocally condemns the torture and other grave human rights abuses inflicted upon Dr. Abu Safiya by Israeli forces and authorities. Al-Mizan urged the so-called international community, particularly Israel's enabling allies, quote, to take immediate action to demand the immediate and unconditional release of Dr. Abu Safiya, as well as of all Palestinians who have been unlawfully arrested and arbitrarily detained by Israeli authorities, including hundreds of healthcare workers. In a statement, Hossam Abu Safiya's family said that there is, quote, a possibility of his release in the coming stages, as there are no charges against him from the Israeli public prosecution. He urges the world to help secure his release and the release of all detained healthcare personnel from all hospitals. They must be protected, their rights ensured, and they should receive care and be released as soon as possible. We've published many features on the Electronic Intifada in the last week, but we wanted to highlight excerpts of As One War Ends, Another Begins by English teacher and translator Saida Hamdouna, writing from Gaza. She writes, quote, Israel's overt assault on Gaza has ended, at least for now. The sounds of planes and whistles of shells have stopped, as have the moments of sheer terror and hiding from Israel's attacks. But the ceasefire has left behind a new life no less harsh than the war itself. It is a life filled with daily challenges, as though Israel never dropped its weapons, replacing them with battles that creep into all aspects of life. Now the people of Gaza are enduring a new struggle, a struggle to search for a life worth living amid the rubble of homes, disfigured streets and dreams buried beneath the debris. It is a war of patience and perseverance in the absence of any clear reconstruction plans. There are no quick solutions, only people fighting to survive and refusing to surrender to ruin. Imagine attempting to leave your home, only to find that the road before you is nothing but wreckage. Streets that once buzzed with activity and life are now a maze of rubble and craters. The streets are no longer navigable. Even the drivers of ambulances and humanitarian aid struggle to reach devastated neighborhoods. The simplest daily tasks, like walking to a store or visiting a relative, have become huge challenges. Rubble is not just shattered stones. It is a silent testimony to a war that left profound marks on every corner and in every street. Restoring these roads could take years, maybe even generations. Despite all this destruction and pain, Gaza continues to resist. Each day is a battle to find water, to access electricity, to remove rubble, and the even greater battle to rebuild the self and assert our human dignity. Life in Gaza after the war is not easy, but there is a deep belief that all this pain will one day be a distant memory. With determination, we will rebuild everything that has been destroyed, not only in the streets, but also in our hearts. The road forward is long and arduous, but this land, which has paid a heavy price time and again, will return to life once more. The people of Gaza do not know the meaning of the impossible, nor will we accept Israel's destruction as the end. That's an excerpt from Saida Hamdona's feature, As One War Ends, Another Begins, on electronicintifada.net. Turning to the occupied West Bank, my colleague Tamara Nassar reports that Israel's ongoing deadly assaults has nearly emptied several refugee camps, specifically in the northern areas. The following is from her report, Israel is Establishing Facts on the Ground in the West Bank, published on Wednesday. Some 40,000 Palestinians have been forcibly displaced since Israel's military operation, dubbed Iron Wall, launched in the northern Jenin refugee camp on January 21st. Since then, Israel expanded its assault to Tul Karem refugee camp and Nur Shams refugee camp near Tul Karem, also in the north. Al-Farah refugee camp in the foothills of the Jordan Valley, south of Tubas, was also targeted. UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, said that the deadly and destructive assault, quote, is now the single longest in the West Bank since the Second Intifada. Israel's operation follows a series of assaults on refugee camps in the occupied West Bank, which have left them uninhabitable, according to UNRWA, forcing their residents into a state of cyclical displacement. This was a spillover of the war in Gaza, the agency said. Tamara writes that since January 21st, the Israeli army has carried out invasions and airstrikes, destroyed critical infrastructure such as electricity, sewage, and water lines, raided homes, arrested youth, and deployed snipers in residential areas. Nearly 50 Palestinians have been killed in those areas, and over 100 have been injured. Israel is doing this under the guise of crushing armed resistance that emerged in those areas to confront Israel's colonization and theft of Palestinian land. Schools for Palestinian children in Tul Karem, its refugee camp, and the Jenin area were forced to close as a result of the ongoing Israeli assault. Israeli forces imposed a siege on two hospitals in Tul Karem, disrupting medical care, particularly for kidney dialysis patients. On February 9th, Israeli forces opened fire on a young couple in a car as they were leaving their home in the Nur Shams refugee camp. The attack killed 23-year-old Sundus Jamal Shalabi, who was pregnant and in her final trimester, and left her husband critically injured, according to a field investigation by the Palestinian Center for Human Rights. Israeli forces then obstructed the movement of medics and ambulances for approximately 1 hour. Delaying medical assistance. Doctors were unable to save Sundus's unborn child. For much more, read Tamara Nassar's report, Israel is Establishing Facts on the Ground in the West Bank, on electronicintifada.net. And in occupied East Jerusalem, the owners of the educational bookshop were arrested and detained on February 9th after Israeli police raided both of their stores in the city and threw books on the floor, accusing the owners of selling items that, quote, incite terrorism, including a children's coloring book titled From the River to the Sea. The owners, Mahmoud and Ahmed Muna, were released on Tuesday, and according to their lawyer, the Israeli court charged them with disrupting public order and ordered that they be placed under house arrest for 5 days. The court also ordered them not to be allowed to return to their bookstores for 20 days. Finally, as we always do, we wanted to share images of people expressing determination and resilience in the aftermath of Israel's 15-month campaign of destruction. A group of kids sitting around a campfire in Jabalia in northern Gaza spoke with journalist Anas Al-Sharif about U.S.-Israeli aspirations to expel them to other countries and take over Gaza. Every time Anas asked the kids if they're thinking about leaving the north of Gaza, they all shout in unison, "No. Let Trump bark all he wants," one of the kids says. "We're not leaving."
مفكرين تطلعوا؟ طب هلقيت ترامب بقولنا في تهجير بدكم تطلعوا من الشمال ومن غزة ناويين تطلعوا؟
لا
بدكم تطلعوا من جباليا؟
لا لا
يعني؟
بزعق براحته بدناش نطلع
بدكم مش تطلعوا؟
لا
يا بنت حزمات نارية في غزة ناش نطلع
ايش؟
يا دوب حزمات نارية في غزة ناش نطلع
لو يضربوا حزمات نارية مش طالعين؟
لا كل واحد يضربوا بنطلع كلنا على الله فوق
That's Anas Al-Sharif speaking to kids in Jabalia. That's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.